Hello, and welcome back to Herb's Acupuncture and Everything Else. I'm herbalist and acupuncture student, Emma.
And I'm Dr. Sandy, the naturopath.
Okay, so this week we are discussing skin health. It was quite a toss-up between skin health and digestive health last week. Right, Dr. Sandy?
Yeah.
And why did we pick skin health this week?
Because the people on Instagram told us to.
Yes, the people on Instagram did tell us to. And they're so intricately related, digestive health and skin health, that we are going to touch on digestive health this week, even though it's skin health week, and then, you know, for digestive week, we'll touch on skin health. Mm-hmm. Can't have one without the other, right?
Very true, yep.
I know people say that the, like, digestive system is just the skin on the inside of your body, and, like, the digestive system and your skin itself on the outside, they're very similar in the way that they react to substances and the way that they process toxins and such, right? Would mm-hmm. you say that's true?
Yeah. Well, the digestive system is everything. It's also, like, our second brain.
yeah. Second brain, for sure. So, I guess to kick off the episode, we'll start with some foundations of skin health. So, mm-hmm. different things that can affect the skin and different places to start if you're experiencing skin issues of any kind. These are all kind of, like, foundational places to start. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk a little bit about our favorite herbs, our favorite supplements, our favorite, you know, acupuncture protocols are our favorite products for skin, and then we'll end it with a little bit of personal information about what we do mm-hmm. for our skin.
All right, so to start off, we'll go over briefly a few different things that are essential for good skin health. So first off, we did talk about good digestion, mm-hmm. And can you tell us more about that, Emma?
I mean, I guess the question is, what does good digestion mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's such a broad statement. But essentially, good digestion, I think, to me, looks like a diet that your digestive system can properly adapt to. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a lot of different diets for good skin health. Mm-hmm. And for some people, those diets work really well, and other people it doesn't. So I don't mm-hmm. think there is a one-size-fits-all for what is good diet look like for mm-hmm. digestion. It's what does your body, is your body able to process the foods that you're giving it mm-hmm. in a full way and eliminate the toxins from your diet and eliminate, just in general, eliminate properly? Are you having regular bowel movements? That's yeah. important, because, like we'll touch on, hormones are excreted in a number of ways, but the biggest way is through your poop. So mm-hmm. if you're not having general bowel movements every day, yeah. your hormones are staying in your body and they're accumulating. Yeah. So that could also influence your skin health, right?
Yeah, and then you also need to consider how well your body is detoxing everything as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So everything you said, I do agree on. And everyone has also, like, different food sensitivities, mm-hmm. which can manifest as, I guess, concerns with the skin.
For sure.
Most commonly, I guess, like dairy, gluten, or sugar, stuff
dairy,
like
gluten,
that.
But everyone
probably has different sensitivities.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. There's a lot. It can be tricky to know where to start, whether you can digest gluten, whether you can digest dairy, whether you can digest nightshades. There's so many different variables. Mm-hmm. Or in what form can you digest these things? Can you have it if it's made into a pastry, or can you have it on its own? Can you have it in with other things if you're cooking with dairy? So I think a good place to start if you're wondering if your diet is impacting your skin in a negative way could be to join an elimination diet group. I suggest groups just because you have the support within a group to talk about your symptoms as they come up, or with a practitioner to talk about those, anything you notice that you're not able to understand. Mm-hmm. But can you explain, Sandy, what's an elimination diet?
So for about a month or so, you're eliminating common food groups that can, I guess, be aggravating to mm-hmm. your body.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we just discussed,
like gluten, a lot of gluten, dairy, nightshades, sugar, basically anything from a package,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. So a lot of whole foods.
Yeah, so you're eating as clean as possible for about a month, and then afterwards you're reintroducing food groups at a time.
Mm-hmm. One at a time. So that if you notice, whoa, my skin blew up when I had gluten again, or my eczema got really bad after I had gluten again, then you can maybe isolate, okay, gluten might be something I can't have. Or maybe you reintroduce gluten and you're fine, but it's actually eggs.
Yeah.
Or it's potatoes or tomatoes. There's so many different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important for sure.
Yeah.
Because your digestive system does a lot of work for you, and it can get overwhelmed, like the idea that the cup is overflowing with, so if your body is like a cup and you're filling it up to the brim with different things that your body can't handle, eventually it's going to spill over and show those symptoms on your skin sometimes, right?
Yep. Yep. And then we can also discuss this more in the next episode as well.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, sure. Along those lines, I guess also adequate water intake is a big thing. A lot of patients who do not drink a lot of water.
Yep.
It's really hard. And it can show, right?
Yep.
Dryness, thirst, and such. Even constipation.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, for sure. And water, it's tricky because I think there's a pull to have, you know, carbonated beverages, juice, smoothies, and then you just kind of forget about water and how much water we should be having every day. A good way, too, if you find you're addicted to soda, something that I've done, the way that I got off, like, carbonated beverages and pop and stuff was through carbonated water. Not ideal. Like, it's not as hydrating as drinking regular water, because sometimes they have those carbonated beverages have sodium in them, or sometimes they've got, they're just not as, you know, pure as real water because they've been carbonated, and sometimes they have like calcium added to it or whatever. Yeah. But that is a good way if you like really crave the bubbly thing, but you don't want to put all that sugar in to your body. That could be a nice way to get the water in.
Cool.
So I guess in regards to inflammatory foods like sugar, for some people gluten, for some people dairy, what signs and symptoms would you look for to pinpoint something inflammatory is in your diet that is aggravating your digestive system?
So inflammation can result in like breakouts, some swelling, redness, and like you'll see this in the skin, but you can also see this in other places, like even joints and stuff as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so definitely taking a look at the diet and how your digestive system is working, and if you're absorbing your nutrients as well, that's pretty important, wouldn't you say, Sandy?
Yeah.
So how can stress, which is something that I think is a part of everyone's lives, how can stress affect the skin?
It can also cause breakouts.
Yeah, how though?
Oh no.
Yes you do. Oh my gosh. I mean, I would guess. I would say that it happens from the interplay of when you're stressed and your cortisol level goes up and you get really stressed out, and then all of your hormones, especially if you've been stressed for a long time, your HPA axis, right? Your hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis gets all worn out and tired, and then hormones are kind of like that stress hormone is staying in the blood a lot longer than it should, and I feel like that could manifest definitely as your skin, as your body just being generally overworked and inflamed.
Yeah, so then I guess people who are like really stressed or busy at work or like in the middle of staying for exams, you can notice a lot of breakouts around this time.
Yeah, I notice it huge. Like when I'm stressed, I can see a very large difference in how bad my skin is being. And I think I know a lot of people too with eczema have noticed this too, where it when they're really stressed, their eczema gets worse. So stress can definitely be a factor. And I think too, when you're stressed, you tend to eat poorly. So there's so many correlations, like which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Yeah, that, and you also start sleeping less.
Yeah, because sleep is that time when your skin is actually repairing itself. So I would say that's the best time if you're going to put on like a serum or a product to do it before bed.
Yeah.
Just so that you've got that, ideally, those 8 hours of your skin repairing all of itself and like the collagen and repairing all of the structure of the skin. Right? But yeah, I think stress can be one of the worst things, especially if you're really concerned about something like acne or hormonal breakouts. Obsessing about it and stressing about it can, I think, really make it worse.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Because you're focusing on it, and then it's just hard for the skin to get the time to heal and the resources.
Which is understandable, though, because depending how severe these things are, it does affect your quality of life.
Yep, for sure. I think also when looking at hormonal breakouts and acne, it's also pretty important to look at the liver, right? Wouldn't you say, Sandy? Liver function?
For sure.
Why would that be?
Because you need a healthy working liver in order to help like metabolize and detox all these excess things like hormones and stuff, right?
Yeah,
and
totally.
I guess that's also a big part in why you would see I guess abnormal hormone levels with like PCOS or something like that.
Yeah, PCOS for sure. Just your liver not being able to process the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone levels, and then the balance is not being kept. It's another reason why elimination diets are used, is to give the liver a break, right? And there's also so many different, they call them exogenous hormones, right? So hormones in your meat, hormones in your dairy, hormones in your plastic, unfortunately. So if you use a lot of plastic products and you eat a lot of commercial meat and dairy, might be something to look at there. Even fish, right?
I like to confess I've never done the elimination diet.
It's really hard. Like we another naturopath and myself facilitated and attempted it last year, and it was really hard. Would I do it again? I don't know, but if I really needed it, I would, because I think the benefits outweigh the, you know, tediousness and you know, uncomfortability sometimes of not being able to eat what you want for that those couple weeks. It really does pay off, I think. And so I think too, for just to touch briefly on water, what would you give advice in terms of water? We talked about amounts, but should people be doing filtered water for their skin, do you think?
Honestly, I don't know if it's like, the water here is pretty clean, so I don't know if it makes a huge difference. It's more like whether you're getting just the amount in. But of course, like, the cleaner it is, like, the better, I guess.
For sure. I feel like, in depending on where you live, filtered water could be a really good decision. You can try to find access to your city's or your township's water, like, analysis records, and just see if it's high in anything you might want to avoid. I don't really know if that's accessible or not. I've heard of people doing it. I think drinking out of not plastic would be more important than if it's filtered, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Just so you don't get those extra hormones, you know, estrogens that your body then has to work to process.
Especially like reusing like the plastic water bottles. They're not meant to be reused.
But again, I think that those are secondary to, like we talked about, diet, right? What goes in our bodies and on our bodies more so. But water goes in our body, so it is something to be aware of. And like we said, environmental, so using plastics and making sure that the places that you're sleeping are, you know, mold-free and all those good things, which can be sometimes sneaky.
Yeah, and like just regular like hygiene as well, right? Like changing your pillow sheet.
Pillow cover.
Changing your pillowcase regularly. Making sure you even wash like your face towels regularly, just things
for like accumulated like bacteria and stuff, I guess, if you're really looking at it, for sure. Okay, so talking about some favorites, Sandy, favorite products, do you have any favorite herbs, favorite supplements for skin issues, and which skin issues are they for?
Generally I do like fish oil, probiotics, and those are good for like decreasing inflammation, and then the fish oil has like the added benefit of like an oil, right?
The fats.
And then I think zinc is very underestimated, because I know there have been studies that acne is associated with a zinc deficiency, which I guess isn't really common knowledge, but it's worth trying, and it is important for like immune health and stuff.
For sure. That's really interesting. And so when we're looking at fish oil and probiotics, is that kind of for general, like any skin issue, you can try those?
I would say so. Yeah, I mean, like, for sure, like, it has been proven for, like, eczema and stuff. But I think it's a good general step, and it is important for just, like, general health as well.
Yep. I think, too, eczema is so dietary related that... definitely probiotics, right, to have the good bacteria in your gut, and fish oil, because it's so good, like the oils at repairing the skin and nourishing the skin. Would you say a diet in healthy, like high in healthy fats, would be good for someone that has some skin issues going on?
I would recommend it.
I'm a big fan too in regards to herbs. If you're looking at hormonal breakouts and things like that, looking at bitter herbs that activate the liver. So that could be a lot of different herbs. My favorite, also, if you suffer from like PMS and anything like that, verbena, blue vervain. It's a nice bitter, but it's also kind of nice in helping you regulate the PMS symptoms. Mm-hmm. Burdock is another great one. Dandelion root, another nice one for mm-hmm. just gentle on the liver.
Yeah.
Bupleurum is a little bit stronger. That's a TCM herb, chaihu, they call it. Yeah. Would you add any other liver herbs? I mean, there's so many liver herbs.
I can't think of any herbs right now, but in terms of supplement for like mm-hmm. liver detoxing and stuff, then like NAC would be good.
What does NAC stand for?
N-acetylcysteine. Nice. Yeah. So important amino acids to help with the liver.
Okay.
And then some other things to consider that most people I think would try. So like collagen or mm-hmm. biotin.
Collagen's big right now.
Yeah. So those would be good for, like, skin, yep. hair, nails. Yeah.
For sure. I think, too, drinking nettle and cleavers in a tea, because they're both diuretic. They help flush you out a little bit there. They will make you pee a little bit more. Nettle is so high in minerals and vitamins, as well as cleavers is a natural, it's a gentle lymphatic, too. So if you have any, like, lymphatic congestion, it really helps there. I found those very helpful for my skin, mm-hmm. For sure. And red clover is another nice one.
Nice.
Right? The alteratives, the herbs that are considered alteratives, blood cleansers, are usually nice, gentle for the mm-hmm. skin. Right? Yeah. And then if you're looking at more severe skin issues, you can make custom formulas for those.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other supplements for skin. Definitely fish oil, for mm-hmm. sure. Do you have a specific fish that you like for fish oil? Like, any specific?
If it's more for skin, like, I think maybe cod liver, just mm-hmm. because it has all these other vitamins that
yep.
are good.
Yep. I've heard also the smaller the fish, the better, like, in terms of, like, sardines and anchovies.
Nice.
Because they have less buildup, like, environmental buildup.
Right.
The big fish have more, but I don't know if mm-hmm. that, yeah. And I think some other, just a couple more herbs too, for if it's stress, stress induced skin stuff as well, can be looking at adaptogens, right, Sandy? So herbs mm-hmm. that help us deal with stress that may also be helping with the liver. So one that's nice is another kind of a TCM herb, Schisandra berry.
Yeah.
Right? Wu Wei Zai is the TCM name. Yeah. And that one is really nice because it speeds up phase two. Detoxification in the liver,
right.
So it can speed up a liver, but also is adaptogenic. So when you're going through like periods of stress, maybe you're studying for an exam, Schisandra might be a good one for there mm-hmm. to consider. And I think lastly, I would say too, for eczema, looking at astragalus. I've seen some interesting results with using astragalus for eczema patients.
Oh,
and just because it's modulating that immune response to the skin.
Yeah.
Okay,
so last but not least, what are you doing right now in terms of your skin regimen?
Oh boy. I've tried a couple different things. I tried a lot of different products in the beginning, because I do occasionally have hormonal breakouts or stress-related breakouts for sure, sometimes some dryness in the winter. Mm-hmm. And something I started doing, I noticed that even the really nice organic products, skincare products, were actually making it worse. So I found mm-hmm. the best thing for me is literally just washing with hot water. Yeah. No soap, no cleanser, just water.
Yeah.
And then I finish with a toner that we actually make that is just different floral waters with a little bit of rosehip seed oil.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I've actually started doing a TCM practice of, like, using a jade roller, like gua sha for the face. Do you do this, Sandy?
Yes, I do have my jade roller.
And nice.
I do my best to try to use it every night.
Yep.
What
is it supposed to do for you?
Helps improve circulation to mm-hmm. the skin, mm-hmm. reduce swelling.
Yeah. Reduces redness too,
yeah.
in a big way. I noticed that as soon as I started using the jade roller every night, mm-hmm. I would wake up the next morning and my skin is noticeably less red.
Oh, good. Yeah. And, like, an added bonus is that it'll also help with muscle tension. Because I know, like,
mm-hmm.
I clench a lot, yeah, and I don't even know it. Yeah. And then when I'm like rolling over my masseters and stuff, I can feel the difference.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a clencher as well. Yeah, the Jade Roller I would definitely recommend. I use it before I put on my toner, and then I put the toner on, and then I go to bed. That's my thing.
I do the opposite.
Okay.
I spray with my toner and then roll it.
Well, maybe I should start rolling my toner. I feel like that's now I should do it that way. But tell us, do you roll first or do you tone first? Or do you tone first and then do you roll first? And I think something I did a major switch, if I do wear makeup, I buy makeup that is paraben-free, that is phthalate-free, that is hopefully even the word parfum. You'll see that, P-A-R-F-U-M. I try to even get that free. Mm-hmm. You want dermatologist tested, good quality makeup, because that's going to just, like, even if you're taking such good care of your skin, but then you're putting on makeup that has inflammatory constituents in it, can make the skin worse, right, Sandy?
Mm-hmm. And considering that you do wear it for like half the day,
most of at least the day? Half the day, if not like 14 hours of the day, right?
Yeah, you just want to make sure it's quite clean.
Yeah, definitely. And in regards to eczema and things like that, there are nice herbal salves that can be used for that as well, if steroid creams are not working, or that you'd rather have a natural alternative or something to use with your prescription, right, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So would you say by and large oils are good for your skin, like putting oil on your skin in the evening?
Depends what kind of oil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be different for everyone, so you just kind of have to experiment.
Yep. So what do you use on your skin?
Water.
Yeah, water too, right? There's a pattern. Yep.
Actually, like, the time when I only used water was, like, probably the time I had the nicest skin.
There you go.
And then the more I started complicating things, and it went downhill, but, yeah, generally I use water, and I've been going back to, like, bar soaps for... Mm. And I don't know.
For, like, your body and stuff?
No, just my face.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You don't find those too drying?
Usually, like, the ones that you just buy in, like, the regular store or whatever, it was really drying for me. But I found some, like, natural bars that I think work really well.
Nice.
And isn't super drying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I think, too, like you said, be conscious, because I think we overcomplicate things a lot with skin, especially face. Care. I think body care you can do a little more fun things with, but the face is so sensitive, and there's a lot of products out there that want you to pay, you know, $50 for a 100 ml bottle of something that might actually make your skin worse. So I think just trying to go back to basics. What am I eating? What am I drinking? What am I putting on my face?
Am I getting good sleep?
For sure. And just I think remembering that you're beautiful no matter what.
For sure.
Yeah. So that was our skin health kind of rundown. But if you have any questions further on anything specific, feel free to message us on Instagram or send us an email at herbsandacupodcast@gmail.com. And other than that, stay healthy and happy. I've been herbalist Emma.
And Dr. Sandy, the naturopath.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.